Good morning to everyone. Good to see you today in the house of the Lord. I don't know how it worked out that Josh was led of the Lord to have two bald-headed preachers on the same agenda. But we're here, brother. Yeah. It didn't take us long to take care of that, so we had more time to focus on this, didn't we? Amen. All right. I appreciate you being here. Josh, thank you so much for the honor to come and share with you here this morning. Good to see some friends here. Brother Bud Wishon over here, I've known for a long time. As we were teasing there a while ago, we won't talk about how long because it might tell on us about our age and so forth. So we won't talk about that part of it. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share from the Word of the Lord. Open your Bibles with me to the Revelation, chapter number 3. The Revelation, chapter number 3. We're going to get right into the Word of the Lord. I appreciate the singing by the choir this morning. Touched my heart in a wonderful way. And certainly anybody ought to be able to at least try to preach after that kind of wonderful singing. And the choir, thank you so much for doing that. I've been in this way for a long time now, 42 and a half years, and counting. God has been good. God has been gracious. There is a lot of things that I have learned and a lot of things that I still have yet to learn. I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 37, verse number 25, where he said, "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." That's a wonderful consolation to me whenever I think of the times that we're living in and I think of where we were whenever I started as compared to where we are now. Boy, our hearts need to be challenged these days, don't they? I've learned a few things, and as a result of that, I want to share a message with you this morning as I kind of reveal to you some of the things from my heart that God has touched me with in the recent past. This, I hope, will be very helpful and insightful to each and every one of you. I'm going to be speaking on the subject of sharpening the focus. Sharpening the focus. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. The scripture says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Let me give you some introductory thoughts and then three quick points this morning. In recent years, the Lord has dealt with me personally in a number of ways, including the fact of taking a look at His church, taking a look at its strength, and also taking a look at my personal commitment to the work of the Lord and the call of God upon my life. More specifically, in the recent past, God has dealt with me about that last thing, my personal commitment to the Lord. And so I'm going to be a little transparent with you for a few minutes and say a few things to you that I hope will help you as I, as an older servant of the Lord, with all of the years of experience that God has blessed me with, can share and hopefully help you in your journey of serving the Lord in your life. I, like many of us these days, had gotten caught up in the busyness of modern day life. It's easy to do, isn't it? We can easily get caught up. I was trying to be a good husband, a good dad, a good papa, as my grandchildren call me. I was trying to be a good worker. I was trying to be a good pastor, a good community citizen, people were coming to me and touching my heart by saying, Brother Joe, we think that you would be the right person to fill this capacity and this capacity and do this and do that and do the other. Will you consent to doing that? And I did not have the liberty of the Lord, but of those things which I did try to do, I realized that they only added to the busyness that was already a part of my life. One day, I said to my dear wife, her name is Rosalie, and she's been my constant companion and wonderful friend and support in the ministry since we were married December the 12th, 1970. But I looked at her one day and I said, Honey, I need for you to be brutally honest with me. I need to ask you a question, and I really, really ask that you be very honest with me in how you respond. I said to her, Have I departed, in your opinion, from where I've always said I wanted to be in honoring God at this point in my life? There was a silence. Her eyes moistened up.
Come on, brother.
She looked at me with love, and she looked at me with compassion. And she said, Honey, I'm afraid you have. Beloved, I want to tell you those words gripped my heart.
Come on, brother.
They really, really touched me, but they confirmed what I thought was already taking place in my life. My wife knew that I was not focused the way that I needed to be focused. I was not doing what I needed to do. My focus on fulfilling God's will through my life was not as sharp as it needed to be. And I, while I was doing good things, needed to do more of what Stephen Covey called sharpening of the saw. I needed to sharpen the saw much, much more. Those days of introspection brought me to realize two things. First, I realized that my multitasking was affecting my ability to be at my best as I tried to honor God's call upon my life to be a pastor and lead people into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I came to realize that it was affecting my ability to be at my best in all areas of my life. I had too many things going on in my life. So my need was clear. I needed to sharpen my saw. I needed to sharpen my focus on God's purpose for my life. You know what happened? I began to give up one thing, and the second thing, and the third thing, and the fourth thing. There were things that I had held on for years in my life that I had given up. I was blessed to have been to have had a great career with Duke Energy Corporation and to retire from there in 2003, thinking that I was going to be in full-time ministry after that, but it didn't work that way. And as a result of that, then I went back to school. I got an insurance license. I had a real estate license. And I had all these things that I was doing. I was doing a handyman business. All these things I was doing, all the while taking away from my focus on the things of the Lord. So I had to give up the handyman business. I had to give up my insurance license. I had to give up my real estate license. I gave all those things up so that I could sharpen the saw and renew my focus on doing exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ called me to do in His service. And I'm going to tell you, folks, warmly, humbly, and lovingly, I suspect that it's likely that all of us here need to do some of that. I suspect it's likely. There was a second thing that I realized. I realized that the great church that God had blessed me to pastor would experience no higher spiritual level than I was able to achieve myself. That's true with every pastor. The church you pastor, dear brethren, will go no higher in their relationship with the Lord than your personal relationship with the Lord. Therefore, you need to sharpen the saw, as I came to realize that I need to sharpen the saw and sharpen my focus. That realization led me to not only look at myself, but it led me to also look at today's church, as I know today's church and have been involved in it for a long, long time. I hear folks quite often who say, the church is not what it used to be. You probably have heard the same thing. It's not what it used to be. I tend to agree with that in many ways. There's a lot of things about the church today that's not what it used to be. The Church Magazine, or Church Today Magazine, said some time ago in a statement that they made, and I want to quote that statement to you, something that I thought was very, very important for me to capture, and hopefully it is for you as well. The statement read like this, and I quote, "We have given much attention to fixing up the barn. We focus on buildings, property, parking, etc. But the wheat is still out in the field. Often it gets beaten down with present-day rain, such as economic conditions, issues, and not having enough money, and the list goes on." And whenever I read that, and as I thought about that, I stopped and I said, ouch. Ouch. That hurts, doesn't it? That hurts whenever we recognize that in our world today, that is true as far as the church is concerned. So I suggest unto us that it is time for us to heed the admonition of Revelation 3:2 in terms of the words that are spoken here. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. We need to sharpen the focus on a few things in the church. We also need to sharpen the focus on our personal commitment to God. It'd do every one of us good to get right here in this altar and just pour our heart out unto God and say, Lord, help me to sharpen my focus on being obedient to your will and honoring you with my life, living each and every day in accord with your will for me. We need to renew and sharpen our focus on the vision that God has for our church and for our life. And a part of that vision, beloved, I suggest unto all of us, is that we reach people for Him. We reach people. And if we're going to do that, then we've got to focus. Focus becomes the operative word. And by definition, it is the point where rays of light or heat or sound come together, and it becomes very intense whenever that occurs. The best way I know to illustrate that takes me back to my boyhood days. Whenever I was a young man or a young boy in school, I used to get one of those cheap magnifying glasses. I loved to go outside on a bright, sunny day, and I'd take that magnifying glass and I would position it and work it with a piece of paper under it where I could get the rays of the sun right to that magic point. And if I held it there long enough, you know what would happen? It'd set on fire. Amen? And that's what we need. We need to have such a focus, beloved, that we become set on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we become intense and hot, burning in our witness for the Lord and our preaching of the gospel and the things that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. With that concept in mind, with that thought and that idea in mind, what then should be the main dynamics that we focus on to help us reach people, both saved and unsaved, in the work that we do for the Lord? Let me suggest three real quickly, and I recognize that I'm preaching to the choir. Come on, brother. You all know what I will be sharing with you. You know it to be true, I'm sure. Sometimes it helps us to be reminded just a little bit, doesn't it? Sometimes it helps us to be reminded. It helps me to be reminded, no matter how old I am, No matter how much experience I have, no matter how many hours I've spent in the study, it helps me to be reminded that there's some things that I need to keep the focus on and sharpen the saw for. Number one, we need to sharpen the focus on the preaching and teaching of the infallible Word of God. We don't have anything else to deliver to this lost and dying world, but we do have the inspired, infallible Word of the living God to share with this lost and dying world. Beloved, I find in my study of the Scripture that it was the passion of the early church to share what they knew at that time of the Word of God. The Bible says in Acts 2:42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That had to do with the Word. That had to do with the inspiration of what they knew at that particular time to be able to share with those that they were reaching out to. Those people were unusual. They were poor. They were unemployed. And you could probably add many other things that go with that. They did not have the modern buildings that we have. They didn't have paved parking. They didn't have state-of-the-art sound systems. They didn't have soft pews. They didn't have a website. Somebody said they had nothing but God. And they had it all, didn't they? It was all they needed. They had nothing but God. Here's what I find as I study about what happened in that early church. It was God they wanted. Nothing more, nothing less. And they wanted faithful preaching. They wanted the faithful proclamation of what they knew to share with people at that particular time. Today, in the world in which we live, we have almost everything imaginable in the world. But God and those things that are a part of the world have come into where we are, and they are changing us and they are changing our church, and it ought not to be so. We need to sharpen the focus and sharpen the saw. And we need to get back to holding steadfast and true to the infallible, inspired Word of God and its proclamation. What I find to be true is that today many folks want anything and everything but faithful preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I've even had people to come up to me and say, "Preacher, I like it better whenever you just tell some stories to us. I don't have time to do a whole lot of storytelling. I tell some examples. I give some examples. But it is much more important that we focus on the Word of God, the infallible Word of God." That's what we need in this day and hour. Some of the things that people have said to me in the recent past have just really, really grieved my heart. I had one person to come up to me, for example, and they were talking about their church, and they said to me, "You know, Brother Joe, I go to church, but we don't get a sermon from the Word of God. Our pastor doesn't give us a sermon from the Word of God." I said, "Oh, really?" Someone else came up to me and they said, "You know, Brother Joe, I'm really grieved in my heart where I'm going to church right now because the preacher gets up there on Sunday morning and tells three stories that are 15 minutes each in length. And that is the sum of what we have. And I leave church so hungry for the Word of God. I want the Word of God and I'm not getting the Word of God." You know what I'd be doing if that was going on? I'd be finding somewhere where the Word of God was being preached, wouldn't you? I'd be looking for somewhere where I could have some spiritual food down in my soul. Still, one other person came to me one day and they said, "Brother Joe, I am so heartbroken because our preacher at the church, whenever he stands up to preach every single Sunday morning, all he does is talk about his dog and what it's done all week. Are we going to the dogs? Is it any wonder that America is in the state that she is in today? I know that we're in a bad state. I understand that we're in a bad state. My beloved friends, what I'm here to do is try to challenge each and every one of us to take the position of the leaders of the early church. We need to take their position. You know what their position was? They knew God's message had to be preached. They knew that it was necessary for instruction. They knew that they could be confident of its unchanging truth. You and I have those same things to be a part of our lives. We know the Word needs to be preached. We know that its instruction is necessary so that people will know how to live their lives. And we can be absolutely confident that the Word of God is not going to change tomorrow from what it is today. You know why? Because the God who wrote the book never changes, and I'm grateful that the book He wrote never changes. Amen. You know why? Because His Word is forever settled in heaven, according to the book of Psalm 119, verse number 89. We need to sharpen the focus on preaching the inspired Word of God these days. Again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. Josh does that. Mark does that. Brother Bud does that. All you preachers do that, I'm sure. But it's not true everywhere in the world. It's not true everywhere in our area, by the way. So we need to sharpen the focus. Number two, we need to sharpen our focus on recognizing and desiring the presence of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I like the Spirit that was a part of the singing here this morning. Beloved, He still remains with us. Amen. And thank God for the fact He still remains with us. He's just all too often overlooked. Amen. He is not given His rightful place. I've read that in our world today, 95% of all church activity would continue to go on if there were no Holy Spirit. Boy, that is sad indeed. How sad that is. I'm not talking about having charismatic activity in our church. I've never spoken in tongues, except to my children and my grandchildren. Yeah, whenever they were little, I used to speak in tongues to them. They didn't have a clue what I was saying, neither did I, because I was saying, goo, 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 you know how that is. I was doing all those things. I've never spoken in tongues and do not believe that we should. I believe, beloved, however, that we should recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit and we should allow Him to work in our midst, because when He does, two things occur. Number one, miracles take place. And He's still in the business of doing miracles in our midst. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it talks about many signs and wonders being done. Let me tell you, God is still in the business of doing that today. You know why I know that? Because I see miracles performed as wayward sinners get saved, as couples get back together, as sicknesses are healed, as people leave church. And this is the way we ought to leave church. Every single service, we ought to go out the door into the parking lot, and we ought to be saying, boy, we can't explain what happened in there. We just can't explain what happened in there. My goodness, it was so good. Heaven just came down. The windows of heaven opened up. I remember a few weeks ago, I preached, and after the service, folks came by in the vestibule, and they said, preacher, boy, what a service we had today. And I looked at them, and I said, yeah. You know why? The real preacher came. It wasn't just this little preacher, but the real preacher came. And when the real preacher comes, people leave and they say, boy, we can't explain what happened today. But it was so good. It was so warming to my heart. Number two, ministry occurs. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45 give us the understanding that these people came together in the early church and they worked together. Everyone was led to be a participator. They were not interested in being spectators. They wanted to be involved in the ministry. And that's what we need, beloved. Recognize the Holy Spirit's presence and sharpen our focus on Him and desire for Him to be a part of all that we do. Thirdly and finally, we need to sharpen our focus on praising our risen Savior. Yes, sir. Thank you for those songs today that lifted up the name of Jesus and praised Him. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for praise means to boast. That's exactly what it means. It means to boast. How do we boast about our Lord? How do we best praise our Lord? We do it when we testify, and we do it when we sing praises unto His honor and to His glory. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, "In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto Thee." How sad it is that many churches don't enjoy a wonderful music program like you just had here this morning, and how you have whenever you come together, because they're at odds with each other over the type of music. You know why that is? Let me tell you why I think it is. You might not agree with me, but let me tell you why I think it is. I think it is because we have reached the point where in church we're trying to please the people. What do you think? Amen. We're trying to please the people, and it's all about us when it's not about us in the first place. It's all about Him. It's about the audience of one, and we are supposed to be praising Him and giving glory and honor to Him. How do we do that? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, both old and new. Hebrews 5, verses 18 through 20. And let me tell you what I did with that. I'm going to read you something that I put together some time ago. This is a part of my song of praise to the Lord based upon songs that I have sung through the years that mean so much to me. And it goes like this. Through God's amazing grace, one night I heard the message of the old rugged cross on a hill far away. As I surveyed that wondrous cross, I realized that there, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. Being convicted of my sin, I plunged into that fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and realized my sins were gone. I had been set free. Since then, I have experienced joy down in my heart because I have been redeemed by love divine, and I have blessed assurance because Jesus is mine. My heart now so humbly prays, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. While the future may be uncertain, I stand today on Christ the solid rock. He is my firm foundation. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow and some glad morning when this life is o'er. I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. And oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Amen and amen. Musicians, come forward. If the Lord has spoken to your heart and you need to sharpen the saw, right here's a good place to do it, in this altar. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Thank you, Father, for the time that we've had together here in these few minutes. Thank you for the touch of the Holy Spirit. You're here. We don't want to overlook you. Lord, I pray that in this invitation time, you'll speak to all of our hearts and we'll be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. In the quietness of this hour, if the Lord has touched your heart, I invite you to just slip up here to this altar.